Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of Real News Radio. Tonight, you're tuned into our special Super Bowl kickoff show. We're pretty much going to go down everything, every angle that you could think of covered, from a team angle, from individual players. We're going to pretty much go down every position, every matchup, D-line versus O-line. Receivers versus cornerbacks, the tight ends. We're gonna get through everything. We might talk about some other stuff tonight on the show, but more likely than not, it's gonna be, pretty much Super Bowl. Tonight again, I'm joined by Justin Cook. Justin, are you here?
Yeah, Brian, can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you great, Justin. How you doing?
Not bad. As a Giants fan going into it, I'm a little excited, and I'm also a little worried. Tell you the truth, it's a game. It can go. I have a feeling it's going to go a lot like 2007. The question is at the end, are we going to be able to stop Brady? When it comes down to it, and are we going to be able to keep up the momentum that we've had the last 4 weeks or so?
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna. You know what, man. I'll tell you, the feeling around here, Justin, it's pretty much the same. I mean, there is nobody over here taking the Giants lightly, but there's no. I mean, we're confident, and everybody, we all think the Patriots are going to win, but we all think it's going to be a really close game, and we all know that the Giants could easily win just as easy as the Patriots. See, the thing with the Giants, it's almost like they're so balanced. It's almost like they can play whatever type of game you play. You know what I mean? And
right.
They can get you in the passing game. You've watched the team a lot closer than me. Obviously, I've only seen a couple Giants games this year. I'm assuming you've probably seen just about all of them. What's up with the running game? Now I'm hearing people say the running game actually wasn't even that good this year with Bradshaw and Jacobs. Were there a lot of fumbles? Were they just not productive? What was their deal this year?
They weren't productive at all. I'd say, at least for the middle stretch of games when we were losing, we weren't getting what we had Bradshaw out for a few games. He's still nursing a couple injuries. So, I mean, the main thing has been, though, it's neither one of them has been dominant. But towards the end, I think the difference has been that that Jacobs has been running like he has a pair, finally, running north to south instead of east to west. He's not a guy that you want to see, try to shake a corner back out. Just go, just
so
run
big,
right
dude.
Over him.
Yeah, run over people. I mean, he was – when I first started seeing him come on the scene, whatever it was, 5, 6 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, I mean, he was just a beast. But, I mean, he would drop the ball. He would try and dance around, like you're saying. And he's just such a big bruising back. I mean, he should be beating on you. The thing that really worries me the most, for those of you that don't know out there, Justin is – he is a New York fan. I am a Patriots fan. He's being from the New York area, in Connecticut, right, Justin?
Yeah, Southern Connecticut. Actually, here where we are, it's a melting pot. I gotta say,
yeah.
it's probably 60% New York, 35% Boston, and the other 5 for
it must
weird
get crazy
teams, Cowboys
down,
and stuff.
It must get crazy at the bars and stuff, man. I mean, it really must.
Oh yeah.
Well, anyways, for you that don't know, me and Justin were already going to plan on doing the sports show, and then so be it. Both our teams, a few weeks later, ended up in the Super Bowl. So, I mean, it works out perfect because you could say we both know, a lot about the two teams, obviously. The thing as a Patriots fan, and I don't know if I speak for all of us. I mean, everybody has their own little, keys to the game or whatever. The matchups that I'm really worried about is Akeem Nicks. I'm really worried about him. He's just, to me, he comes off as just a real big-time, big-game receiver. Now, I know Victor Cruz this year had better numbers as far as yards and everything, but, is Nicks still looked to as the go-to guy there?
Yeah, Cruz is the guy that when you want to put, when they go over top and double-team Nicks, it's going to be, a throw it underneath to Cruz and watch him run with the ball. But I mean, you can also take a shot with the guy. The guy's athleticism is amazing. Same thing with Akeem Nicks, though. There's a guy, he's big. He can, he can go up and get it. And he's obviously the first target.
He's
really
strong
definitely.
He's really strong. And see, now one of the other keys to the game, and this is obvious. I mean, everybody talks about Gronkowski now. Gronkowski's a beast, okay? You know, he's just second year into the league, and he set records for tight ends. I mean, he set the yards record, he set the touchdown record.
Right.
And, you know, a hell of a lot of it has to do with the guy throwing him the ball, but he is a beast. I mean, when he's 100%, he's pretty much close to unstoppable and creates all type of nightmares. But the thing I'm worried about with this game is if we don't have him, the way your D-line is and the way they're going to be able to put pressure on, we're going to need those quick passes across the middle more than anything.
Right.
So there's going to be a lot of pressure on Wes Welker this game. I think we're going to need Wes Welker to come up really big this game across the middle. And obviously Hernandez, but I think they're actually going to, you know, let Hernandez actually run the ball a few times. I'm not a big fan of that. I'd rather just see Ben Jarvis Green Ellis run it. I mean, you got a guy that's never fumbled the ball, knock on wood, in his entire career. Never once. So, I mean, obviously he's going to at one point, but that's pretty good, man. I mean, he's never fumbled. I mean, why? And they did this in their last – which playoff run was it? I don't know if it was last year or the year before, but they just totally abandoned the run.
I don't know why the Patriots do that. You know, they're a team that their offense is so potent, and yet we saw Ben Jarvis Green Ellis had
a better year
last year. He is a good back. And I think that if anything, that some of those games that if, you know, put the ball on the ground a little bit more and see if you can open them up. You know,
he's,
I mean,
good, Justin. He's like you said with Jacobs. You don't want to see him going east to west.
Exactly.
But the guy is so reliable, man. He
I'll
doesn't
what,
let go of the rock.
As a goal line back inside the 20, he's probably in my top three guys in the league that I'd want to have, you know, running the board inside the 10, let's say. Definitely, he's all momentum going forward. You know, I like him. The only thing about him, you know, he's been inconsistent, and that's been because of the, you know, the play call.
That's not his fault.
The fact that they blow teams out too, also, you know.
Yeah, and you know, and when I see guys like Woodhead get carries, it's just and it's fine if they want to mix it up, you know, and do that little style of run when it's kind of spread out, and you know, anybody's really going to get 5 yards on that. But I don't like when, you know, Green Ellis is, you know, only getting 10, 15 carries because he's splitting them with friggin' Woodhead. I mean, it kind of drives me nuts. I don't really like that. I don't like it. There's a few things about the team I don't like. I've really questioned a lot of Belichick's decisions. There's been a lot of times that I've scratched my head about a lot of the times that he's gone far when I thought I should have kicked field goals. Even in the Super Bowl when we played you guys, I mean, there was a 40-something yard field goal that he didn't let Gostkowski kick that game.
Right, you guys have a special kicker.
Gostkowski's got a big
too.
Leg, dude. He's got a big leg, dude. He boots him out the back of the end zone all the time.
I agree. I think when you have a guy like Gostkowski, that's, you know, sometimes you have to, you know, you have to kick that 47-yard or whatever, you know, because it's he's
that's
what
nothing
probably
to him.
Yeah, 92% or something from there. You know, the whole thing about the Patriots, I think, you know, is what scares me the most being a Giants fan is. It's just the fact of like you said, sitting back and letting Brady get, you know, because the thing is, the guy can make anybody look like an all-pro. Gronkowski he's been a total beast. Like you said, Aaron Hernandez would be the best tight end on any other team in the league, you know, barring
almost
three or four teams.
Top five.
Yeah,
top five.
Right. Yeah, you know what I mean. But behind your, you know, your Grahams and Gonzalez and, you know,
the established guys.
Right,
yeah.
Right. But you know. But anyway, I think that what we're going to see here is I think we're going to see an X factor. And I don't know if it's going to be a guy like Woodhead catching short dump balls. I'm thinking of a big game by Deion Branch and possibly Ocho Cinco.
No. He's done nothing. No, you can't. We can't. Oh, man.
Well,
we can't rely on that guy for anything, dude.
Well, my opinion on Ocho Cinco.
He's busy worried about Twitter, dude. He's out there talking about he doesn't care what the press says about him because he's got 3 million Twitter followers. This is what he said.
This is the Super Bowl. I think that, you know, we're going to see. I'm not saying he's going to have 6 catches for 100 yards.
They're keeping him for something.
Two or three balls late in the game, you know, is what I'm talking about. You know, no, your main threats are obviously Welker and your tight ends. You know, that's it. You know, right there, your three main targets. But like I said, Brady can make anybody look like an all-pro.
That's the thing. If you look at the records, who's got the record for receiving? Randy Moss. But who was throwing it to him? Brady. Who's got the record now for tight end? Brady. Is the receptions with Welker, or did somebody else have that? I know Welker's had like 130.
No, Welker has the receptions record as well.
Yeah, so there are all these records. I mean, these guys are great, but look at who threw. Every one of them's Tom Brady. I mean, he's got a lot to do with it. I mean, a real lot. He's really good, but I don't want to get into that whole discussion. We'll talk about all that later. We got to worry about the game. I don't want to talk about who's the best and you know, I'm just really worried about the game. I'm just as worried as you are, honestly. I know my friends are worried, and you know, nobody's like overconfident, nobody's talking crap, and it's, you better believe a lot of it's got to do with what happened in 2007, because we realize any team that we have can be beat, no matter how good we're looking, and now we're actually going against the team. And how many guys do you have from the team? 16 or something like that? How many left over from the championship?
Tell you the truth, I don't know that number. I know that we,
it's in the teams.
You know, yeah, we have, let's see, we have like Eli both backs, out of our line probably deal. Probably the teams, because the defense, we have a few defensive guys.
Yeah.
It's quite a different team than 2007 though. It's quite a different.
Absolutely,
dynamic.
Both of them. We only got like 10 guys, I think. We got less of a turnout than you, turnover. I don't know. So everybody around here, you know, we all know. I mean, we had, you know, arguably the greatest team of all time, and we got beat by you guys. And honestly, you know, you look at the records back then, and much like today. I mean, you look at the records back then, 18-0 at the time, and you guys were whatever you were. I mean, a little bit above 500 or whatever. And, you know, but then you look at the teams themselves, and it's much more of an even match. And yeah. I think you guys must have a much tougher division. I mean, that's what it's got to come down to.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, and the fact is, when you're playing Dallas and you're playing, you know, Philly, look at a team like Philly. They were picked to make the playoffs. They finished off, what, 7-9?
Yeah, they signed all these free agents. They were calling themselves the dream team, and then they came out the gate duds.
I was scared of them this year, you know, coming out. And I always have that, for some reason, with the Giants, you know, besides, like, the Ray Hanley years, I'm sure, you know, my fellow Giants fans can commiserate with me on that point. Besides those years, you know, you always have that hope, you know, and I think that it's something with Coughlin. That we're never out of it. I mean, you know, a lot of Giants fans didn't like Coughlin until
he's
won the
fired
Super Bowl
every year.
Exactly,
every year his job's on the line.
Exactly. who else in the league has won like he? You know, or been in the playoffs every year and still. But it's New York for you, you know. And there's always a question: will Bill Cowher or you know, whoever is the hot coach at the time that's not employed do a better job? You know, I gotta say, Coughlin is a consistent. He's been very conservative until this year. You know, and I think that is a point of what he finally realized that the weapons that he has, you know, with Eli and Victor Cruz, and I think a lot of it has to do with Eli's, you know, maturity. I think you were looking at a different quarterback.
Yeah, he says, my opinion on him is I still honestly, dude, honestly. Brady, Breeze, and Rodgers are still a step above Eli. I don't care what people say. But Eli is absolutely a very, very good quarterback now, and he's very efficient. His ratio is much better. That's the stat that you can't have one stat tell you anything, especially with quarterbacks. But in my opinion, the one stat that really tells you the most is the touchdown-interception ratio. I mean, that's really very key. And his numbers are much better this year. Now, he's not out there throwing 40 touchdowns like these other guys, and he doesn't have to. But I'm just saying, he's not. He's not at that level yet. But he's at the top of the next level. He's right there. And what did he have for numbers this year? Like 27-13 or something. I mean, those are great numbers.
I think he had less than that for picks. But yeah, either way, around there. You know the thing with Eli is you know, I used to cringe when you had that late drive in the game, and you know, even if you only needed a field goal, I'd say, you know, Someone's going to mess up or run the wrong route, and Eli's going to throw it anyway. Or, you know, but I don't know. This year, when I see the pocket collapsing around him, I don't get nervous until I see, you know, like there's something about him. I think, I don't know if it's delivery or it's just his poise back there. It's like you know, he was a scared kid, like, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, and now he's back, you know, he's a grown man standing back there taking it on the chin if he has to. And, I think that it's a big thing that he stopped, maybe he stopped, you know, bracing before he got hit. But it's a tough thing to do, you know, as a quarterback in the NFL, to sit back there and know you're going to take a hit, but just know you got to release it, you know. And I think that, you know, a lot of guys run out of the pocket earlier or force a pass, whereas, you know, he'll sit back and make sure he finds his man.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
Yeah, I a few years ago, we also had a lot more drops, too, and stuff like that. But, you know, he's been a very efficient passer this year. And with the running game, it's the only weakness we have on offense is the red zone. Our offensive red zone has been pathetic. We're near the worst in the league. And this has continued even through our hot streak. You know, it's been times when we should come up with seven, that we're coming up with three. You know, most of the time here, we've been scoring on a long, you know, I mean, not really long ones, but, you know, 30-yard pass, or at least getting into the, it's just, well, inside the five is even worse. It's just, I don't know, you know, what plays, you know, the good thing is New England's a little soft on the defense up front besides Wilfork, but, you know, and it's not hard to put five 310 guys in the box on a goal line and stop someone if you know where they're going, you know, yeah. Five and run a 5-3 and stop them.
Well, that's the thing. Our red zone defense isn't that bad. It's somewhere near the middle. It's not like our yards is. And you can, I don't right. give a crap about the yards. We know that the way the game is played now and the way the ball moves up and down the field, that the yards are inflated. I mean, it's just like anything right. else. You gotta deal with the way the game has evolved, and the yards is. You're not gonna tell me. Let's just tell me. Okay, you get your pick. You get to take the defense with that gives up the most yards a game, or you get to take the defense that gives up the most points per game. Well, give me the defense that gives up the most yards,
right?
You know what I'm saying? I mean, is it points per game is so much more important.
It's the bottom line.
Bottom line. How many points do they give up? That's it.
Exactly.
If you give up 10 points a game, well, you're a great defense. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. This year, both teams have been, you know, both teams I think are allowed. I think Giants allowed 24 points a game this year. I'm not sure about the Pats, but, you know, this is going to be a high-scoring game. You guys had the 30th-ranked defense as far as yards. Second worst for yards, and 31st for passing yards.
Here's the matchup I'm worried about is I'm worried about we got a Philly new guy to the team, Solder, on the offensive line. And I'm really worried about, you know, Justin Tuck on his side and what's going to happen there. I mean, it's going to be on Brady's good side where he's going to be able to see it coming. But that's why I'm really worried about if Gronk's healthy. He's just playing with everybody and he's been healthy? Do you think he's hurt? What do you think's going on? Do you think he's been told? I think he's been told what to say, and I don't really know what his condition is. I can't get a good read on him.
Well, I think that. You know, they are saying he's going to need surgery, you know, as far as that goes. So, I mean, the whole thing is, you know, he's going to play. And I think he is banged up. I really do. I think that, you know, his ankle's banged up. It's probably been swelled up. He sat out today. My guess is that Gronk is going to play, but I don't see him being as – and I see that, you know, the Giants are going to go for that ankle too if you see him.
You have to.
Right. So, I mean, you may see him where he runs over guys, you know, just catching the ball and going down type thing. He's still a big target, though. You know, that's the main point. But as far as the offensive line goes, that's going to matter. If you can stop your, Jason Pierre-Paul talk.
Yeah, he's a beast, man.
Human Yora, you know, it's Canty has had a great year. Another guy, you know, Canty doesn't get a lot of sacks, but he knocks a lot of balls down. You know, he's a big
even,
guy.
I'm not even familiar with him. Not Chris Canty from back in the day, right?
Yeah, Chris.
Oh,
Canty.
Is it? All right, we used to have him.
Yeah, he had a career year this year. Wow. Was totally played in every game. Was total or not every game? Actually, he was injured, but he finally stopped being immature and everything too. He's finally a team player.
Do you think it was more the people around him were getting double teamed because they're so good and that's why his numbers were good? Or what did you watch? You know, was he really good? Like, he was good to watch. He was really good.
No, Canty needed the Canty started getting double teamed is what happened because he's a big guy inside, and that's what happened. Yeah, and it came to the point where they couldn't double team Pierre Paul, and that's why the emergence of Tuckley. You know, that's the thing is with the Giants front four, and they shuffle them in. They you know they keep them fresh. It's hard to stop them. You know, even our backup, Tollefson, had 6 or 7 sacks. You know, it's just our front four is our strength. Besides that, our linebackers are not a strength, but they've played good in the playoffs. So, you know, Boley's good. Besides that, we have the rookie Daquan Williams, I believe, and then the other – and then Chase Blackburn as a nickel. I don't know. It's a mixed bunch. They shuffle – everybody in a secondary, pretty much. Secondary's been great this year, I gotta say. You know, for compared to past years.
Yeah, you think it's gonna be bang bang right out the gate? I think it is. I think right out the gate we're gonna see points on the board fast for both teams.
Yeah, I do too. I think no matter what that you know, if not both teams are gonna score on their first drive. I think both teams are going to get points in their first drive. I'll say that, whether it's 7-3 or, you know, 3-3. But either way, I think that, you know, the Giants are very capable of doing that, of going down to the 20 and getting stopped and kicking a field goal. But, yeah, I definitely – my prediction, I know, you know, it's a little early to get into predictions, but just since we're talking about, you know, the game, I'm saying 33-31 Giants. Taking a shot that Lady Luck is with us here and maybe a late field goal to clinch it. You know, I don't know. What do you think?
No, I mean, well, I mean, I'm pretty much thinking right around you. I'm thinking more 4-point game.
Okay.
I'm pretty much in the 30s too, Justin. I was thinking more like maybe 37-33, something.
Yep.
Something more along that line. 38-34 maybe sounds a little more.
Yeah. Totally
it's
makes
come
sense.
Down to the last possession, dude. I mean, it's gonna they're gonna make it. Just it's gonna be a battle. It's gonna be one of those games where. Do you remember how the regular season game was in 2007?
Exactly.
It was crazy. Remember that?
Week 17. Yep, week 17. You guys came into Giants Stadium and you know to get the 16th win of the season
feel
there.
Of that game had such an atmosphere. It was like better than any playoff atmosphere really for most games. And I have been to 2 AFC championship games. One against the Colts where we smoked them 30-3 and they complained and got the rules changed after. And then against the Tennessee Titans, it was the coldest game ever at Foxborough. Literally, our beers froze before we got back to the seat, and I am not exaggerating. Frozen to the point you could only get like a sip out of it, and the rest was ice. That's how cold it was. It was the coldest day ever at Foxborough. And we won both games, dude.
That's a big point. I'd love to go to a playoff game or a Super Bowl game. I don't know if I'll ever go to a Super Bowl, but that's another point, though, right there, is neither team, of course, has their home advantage here. We're playing in India on turf, I believe, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, playing in a dome on turf and everything, it's going to be it's going to definitely be a fast-paced game. I don't know, but that's a great experience to go to see it live. If anybody's in Indianapolis right now, definitely call in and let us know what the atmosphere is like over there.
Absolutely, dude. I heard it was because obviously I'm sure you're doing the same, listening to the Fan or whatever you listen to. Listen to EEI and 98.5 the Sports Hub, and you know, they say the way it's set up down there, it's actually awesome. They said it's awesome. It's really close. They don't need to drive, and everything's really they really changed the place over really nice for the Super Bowl. They'd be critical of it. They've been critical of places. They were real critical of Jacksonville. They hated that. But they said the price gouge is ridiculous. You can't get a steak for less than like $40.
Right.
Which is expected, you know.
Right, yeah. And you know, you're still on the East Coast, so it's Midwest, but you know what I mean? It's still it's not too far away. It's still it's it's kind of a, I don't want to say a rich man city either, but you know, it's a big city. It's not like, you know, being in one of the more slummier cities out of the NFL. So the atmosphere there must be great. I don't know. It's Big Brother. What do you call it? Big Brother Peyton Manning's town. I wonder if any of that will play, you know, I don't see that really playing anything into it. It's not like baseball where, you know, there's any tricks to the park.
It's played into it a little bit where Eli and Brady have commented and put Peyton out there and talked nice things about Peyton because they were in front of a pro Peyton press crowd. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, you don't want to piss off the hometown fans.
I can't believe the game's almost here. You know, nobody thought our team was going to do it this year. I mean, everybody thought our defense was it could just never make it with our defense, and I think this just is another testament to Brady and how good he is. I mean, look at the guy. This is his fifth Super Bowl, and the guy's still in his prime. You know,
yeah,
it's great. It's great. And it's more than just that. We have great coaching, and that helps, you know. It really helps in key moments. Of course it does. And they've done a good job of knowing when to get rid of guys. I felt that they did leave some defensive guys, did let some key defensive guys go a little too early. But for the most part, they've been pretty good. The one thing that's really going to bother me, and I can't even believe I'm talking about it right now, I'm still talking about the Super Bowl, but they got to re-sign Welker, man. They got to get it done. If they play hardball and don't pay him over some stupid, you know, some ridiculous salary, it's gonna drive me nuts, dude, because he's been so good for us. So good for us. And right. I know you don't see him as much on the outside looking in, but every time we need a first down,
fantasy.
Justin, every time we need a first down and it's 3rd and 5, 3rd and 4, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 2, whatever it is, you can throw it to the guy and he always knows where the first down marker is and he slithers his way underneath people and he gets like, oh my God, it seems 9 out of 10 times.
Yeah, I agree. No, what Welker is, he's one of your you know, working class type guys. You look at him and, you know, you say here's a wide receiver, not too imposing, not too fast. He's quick though. He runs great routes. He gets open. You know, and that's the thing that matters. He's great on that, like that little comeback third down. You know, just to go 7 yards and get the first down or whatever. You know, he's a guy that you know, if you have a third down ball and you throw it right to the guy, you know he's gonna get it, and you know he comes up with big plays too. But I think it's definitely a testament of Brady.
He's
just
gonna be
put
key.
The ball right on the mark.
Yeah, it is. Oh, absolutely, it absolutely is. You know, and I'm just gonna, you know, I'm not gonna go on and pat Brady on the back, but he's been the reason why our team wins the division, right? Like, you know, however many years it's been, and we're always in the suit. If you look at it, in the last 10 years, we've been in the Super Bowl 5 times. That's averaging every other year. I mean, that's insane.
Yeah, it is.
We're really spoiled over here, and I feel people are a little kind of laid back because of it, and they're not as fired up as usually for a Super Bowl. I don't know. I don't really see it the same.
I totally agree. I wanted to get into another angle here, and that's the right side of the Patriots defense,
sure.
Which is of course where your heat comes from. You got Mayo, Mark Anderson, who's had a great year with 10 sacks, 29 tackles. And then Will Fork, you know, a lot of times they shade him to the, you know, to the weak side or whatever. You know, it's that side right there against a beat up Giants offensive line. We've had our bumps all year, and you know, that's I think is going to be a big thing too. You know, I think that the only thing that I see as a weakness in the Patriots defense is possibly their safeties. What would you say as a Patriots fan?
Well, you know, I'd say all season, yes. But now that Chung's back, I mean, he makes a huge difference. I mean, he wasn't here all year, and he's been back for about 2 games now. He's really big back there. I think our safeties are maybe a lot better than their reputation got this year just because he's back now. I mean, he makes a huge difference. You know, some of the other guys back there, like McCourty, he's been a real disappointment this year, Justin. I mean, he came out the gate. He looked like he was going to be this cornerstone cornerback of your team, a franchise-type player. I think he was a Pro Bowler last year.
Yeah.
This year, I mean, he's just getting beat. I mean, there's no other way to look about it. He's getting beat. The other guy they got out there, I mean, I don't even know a couple of these guys. Yeah, I know Arrington. They got this other guy, Eldigbo or something. I don't even know who the guy is.
Eldigbo, that's the he's actually from Mass, UMass. 69 tackles. Thing is, he's limited with a shoulder injury. He's going to play, of course.
Yeah, Chung's good. Chung's underrated. He's a good safety. He really is.
I think Chung definitely is good.
Arrington can get picked on. And who lines up on your left side? Is it Knicks?
They both switch. It depends. It depends where the tight end goes, because
that's going to be bad matchup for us. Honestly, McCourty is not good this year. I think he's going to get eaten up, and I think Arrington's going to get eaten up. They're going to need Chunk to help out on a lot of stuff.
Yes. Yeah. See, I wonder. I'm seeing a lot of these Patriots players are listed as questionable. Of course, we know they're playing. If you're listed as questionable for the Super Bowl, you're playing just like most other games this season. But it makes you wonder. How many of these guys, because I know they've done that before. They've listed guys as being hurt.
You can't go by that, dude.
No, not with Belichick, you can't. No. That's the thing.
You know why he does that? Because a long time ago, they didn't really bother you if you didn't put an injury, a list out. And they kind of got pissed at him because he would never put anything out there. So just in kind of spite of it, he started throwing everybody on there. Tom Brady's been questionable or probable, whatever it is, for 10 years.
Yeah. I know. It's insane.
Yeah. It's insane. Yeah, he does. He does. He does. I love it.
He's got branches questionable. He's got, who else? Slater. He's got, like Chung, Iadigbo. He's a bunch of guys.
Yeah, they're all healthy. The only guy that's been missing any practice is Gronkowski.
Yeah, I know.
They were all there at the latest practice, except for Gronk. He was the only one.
You have a real good guards in Mankins and Waters.
Yeah, Mankins is good. Light's good too. He has some bad games once in a while though, where he really, but that sometimes he has tough matchups, dude.
Yeah, Matt Light's been around a while. He's been with you guys, I think, his whole career. He's definitely good. I think it was better when you guys had a better line a couple of years ago. Your line's definitely a little younger, definitely a little bit less experienced. We're gonna see. Can we get to Brady and knock him down a few times? Put a helmet on his chin. That's what's gonna matter here. And if so, can the Patriots get a running game established? Those are the things that we're gonna have to see early on. Of course, the Giants line from left to right is, I'll just name Deal. Of course, at the left tackle, Deal's always been good for us. He's a guy that can get beat by the speedier guys. Pretty good. Kevin Booth hasn't been awesome as a left guard. Could be better. Boss has been okay at center. Snee is awesome right guard. And then Kareem McKenzie. Not a big fan of Kareem McKenzie. Big for penalties. Big for, false starts. Although he hasn't been doing it recently. And then the main thing here is, I think too is out of our tight ends, Ballard, Beckham, and Pasco, getting those guys involved in the game too. If our long guys are covered,
yeah, Ballard would be your primary tight end out of all of them, right?
Actually, during the playoffs though, Ballard 600 yards this season, in 14 games. But during the playoffs, it's been more Beckham and Pasco. So I mean,
really?
All three guys have been out. Yeah, all three guys have been playing somewhat equal time. But it's pretty much just, and we got, I love our fullback is a kid, Hank Hynoski. They call him the Rhino. He doesn't get the ball much like most tight ends do, but he's he's one of the 6'1", 265 out of Pittsburgh, you know, one of those fullbacks. And then, you know, the Giants defense pretty much this year has been bend but don't break.
Yeah, that's how the Pats pretty much do it. I mean, they really, you know, they give up a lot of yards, like, as everybody knows, but then they, you know, they clamp up around the red zone. I mean, that's what's important. I mean, it really is. I mean, exactly. Ideally, you'd rather do better than that and not give up any yards, of course, but, you know, if you have to do one or the other, might as well give up the yards and, you know, and get it together when it's really crunch time. What do you think as far as the way the game's going to turn out? Do you think it's going to turn out to be a balanced type of battle? Do you think it's going to turn out to be really pass heavy? What are you thinking?
Well, it all depends on, like, I think the first couple drives of the game. If I mean, anyone could say that, but what I mean by that is if either team comes out and scores twice, you know, then we're going to see them trying to, you know, obviously sit on the ball and make the other team, you know, try to throw the ball knowing that you're throwing it. And it's something, you know, that really just, I'm just worried about a turnover early. That's the one thing that could sink the Giants. You know, we get a turnover early, of course, or late, you know, like any team, you know, look at San Fran last week. You know, obviously, you know, the whole first half passing wise, you know, what Manning was on the mark, and in the second half they stepped it up, and they, you know, they played great defense. Of course, you know, neither team has as good a defense as the Niners, but I don't know. I'm just hoping that you know, we don't get a turnover early. I just want this to be a good game. Let it come down to the last possession, you know, and maybe if someone's getting blown out, hopefully we'll get lucky and get a turnover. You know, and I don't know. That's pretty much my.
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, it's going to come down to one. All it takes is a turnover, and that's how close the game's going to be. You know, you just hope it's not your guy, and I hope it's not our guy. You know, it's just,
right.
I don't know, man. You know, we'll see on Sunday. I mean, it's going to be a great game no matter what. It's going to be. And here's the thing, too, Justin. Every Patriots Super Bowl, I mean, we win by like an average of 3 points, man. I mean, the games are always close. I mean, they're not blowouts. You know, they're close games. No.
The Super Bowls the past few years, you know, they've been pretty close, and I mean, you know, and the thing is, the Giants did get blown out by the Ravens that year, but for the most part, that was a team under Fossil that really, got lucky getting there, but you know, in the past few years, we really haven't been a team to get blown out often. So I mean, I'm just hoping against hope that, you know, it's just really. It's really all good for the first three quarters, and I just want to see, you know, some magic happen, and it happen late, and that's that. I don't know, as long as we get to the half, with neither team up by two touchdowns, I think we're gonna see a great game.
Now let's talk about the rules. Are there any different rules besides the playoff new rules that they already told us a few weeks ago, or does the same rules apply as exactly what that was? It's not any different for the Super Bowl, right?
I don't believe so. No, I believe that the playoff rules apply. I believe. Yeah. I don't know if there's any. I haven't heard anything to the contrary. But I don't know. What do you think of as your guy? You know, who's gonna be the, you know, if you're gonna have an unsung hero out of that offense or that defense? You know, what guy do you see stepping up? You know, and filling that role.
Well, I would have to say Hernandez, but I mean, I don't know how much of an unsung hero that is. I mean, people are kind of expecting that. You know, a guy that's gonna might get some playing time here, and he's definitely active for the game. And I know they're not feeling Ridley after a fumble is Kevin Falk,
right?
And he hasn't really done much all year, but he's in there. I mean, he's going to get some time, and I know that they trust him, you know? And like you were talking about little screen passes or whatever, well, that's the guy for it, you know?
Yeah. Well, Kevin Falk is a little older, but I think one thing the Patriots aren't going to do is they're gonna have him back, of course, you have Edelman, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him back for a punt late because you know he ain't going to fumble.
Edelman fumbled, too. He fumbled the punt the other game.
That's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering almost if you'll see Falk back there on the punt return.
Ridley got benched the next game, too. He wasn't even active after he fumbled. Mm. Belichick doesn't like that. I mean, he doesn't like it, and I don't blame him.
Right.
Don't drop the ball. You can't do that. These teams are too good. You know, you can't fumble. I mean, these games go back and forth, back and forth. A fumble kills you. It kills you, man. It kills you.
It does.
Oh, my God. It kills you so bad, man. All right, let me, you know, this question's put out there a lot, and, you know, I don't usually like to get into too much of this stuff, so we're not talking about greatest of all time stuff. I'm just going to ask you this question. Say Eli wins. Is he better than his brother?
I would say that you would have to compare them in the same. I would say that it puts him in the same.
You have to give him a few more years to catch up with the numbers, right?
I agree, but I think it puts him in the same conversation. I think you're still going to say Peyton was the better quarterback, but then you say, well, Eli got it done twice, Peyton got it done once, you know? So, I mean, it's really... He's
more of a big-game quarterback, and Peyton's more of a... I've seen Peyton choke in the playoffs so many times. I've been there, sat behind his bench at that AFC championship game when they put up 3 points.
What did it take him, 4 or 5 years? His first 4 or 5 years, he was one and out, wasn't he?
Yeah, all the time, dude. He was awful. He was awful, and that's going to go for something. And I know his career numbers go for – everything goes for something. The career numbers, the Super Bowls. He finally did get that Super Bowl. If he didn't get that, I mean, he'd be Dan Marino,
right.
You know?
Right, you know –
That's what he'd be.
There's a guy that, like – look at Marino, you know?
Marino's
there's
bitter.
A guy, Marino had a great career, you know, and what's up?
He's a prick. He's a bitter prick. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah,
that's how I feel about Marino.
You know, but there's a guy that never won a Super Bowl, and it makes you put Elway and Montana in the same category just because, you know, that factor.
Oh, absolutely. They put Montana ahead. I mean, but that's why I think when it's all said and done, you know, I really do think Brady is going to be at the top. I mean, if you already look at the numbers, dude, I mean, it's ridiculous. He's got the titles like Joe. In the clutch games, and then he's going to have the numbers like anybody. And then the thing is, it's the efficiency, Justin. He's got the best ratio ever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The touchdown to interceptions, you know, then he's got, you know, the touchdown record and all the
look,
points.
Look at him this year.
Yeah. 39 to 12.
And 3 rushing touchdowns, which ain't bad either. 5,000 yards.
15-8 the year he broke the record, you know? And he's got the whole thing. I just don't see how he can't be at the top when it's all said and done. We're just in the middle of it right now. He's still going. And even if we don't win this, we're still going to be relevant for another at least 5 years with him.
Oh, by the way, I wanted to correct something I said earlier with Eli. He had 16 picks. I actually said he had less than 12. Sorry, I was off the mark there.
Yeah, I said 13, I think.
Yeah.
I might have said 12, yeah.
Yeah, Manning, here's a guy. Yeah, 49-33 passing yards this year. 29 touchdowns, 16 picks, and a rushing touchdown. You know, the whole thing though is I think that you definitely have to think of Brady and you know as best ever. I think he definitely belongs in that category. Now, real quick, a minute ago you said that you put Montana over Marino.
No, I say people do.
Yeah.
Because of the Super Bowls. Well, honestly, if you ask me, and if you're asking me who had a better skill set, and you know, it would be Marino. Marino had had a better arm, and he was a better passer. But Montana had 4 Super Bowls, and Marino had none. It's got to weigh for something, dude. And I think it weighs for enough to put him past him. I do.
I think
Marino belongs in the top 5 discussion. I don't think he belongs in the top number 1 discussion.
Can you believe it, though, that Montana never had a 4,000-yard passing season?
It's crazy. But that's why, you know, Brady's going to have the Super Bowls, the crazy yards, the touchdowns, the efficiency. Just look at all the years that we just go to the playoffs every time.
Right.
You know, look at all the Super Bowl appearances. I mean, he's already got 5 now. And if we would have won that game where you guys won, hey, nothing. You guys, great game, you know. All because of one play, though, if we would have just stopped you that on that drive at one point, I mean, the discussion would already be over. It would have been perfect season, best season ever, perfect record. I mean, you know, it would already be over. And I just think that people should really just enjoy it because we're never going to see it again. I mean, you might see it again. There's always somebody that comes along 10, 20 years later, but New England's not going to see it again. We're not going to get lucky to get a guy like this again. And, you know, it's going to be brutal when this guy's gone. It's going to be back to Drew Bledsoe, you know, a guy with a cannon arm but makes terrible decisions and makes you go nuts.
Well, you know, it depends how long Belichick lives without having a heart attack. I mean, that's the main thing about it.
They're going to exit together.
As long as he doesn't stroke out on the sideline. Yeah, possibly. I mean, he is getting older. You know, it's crazy because, you know, there's a guy that came up in the Giants system as well under the Big Tuna. You know, he was a coordinator on our two of our Super Bowl teams. How many what's he got? Six himself, or five himself, Belichick.
If you count as a coordinator, yeah, he's got a bunch, dude.
He's got two with us, and how many with you guys?
He will get three Super Bowls with us and one loss against you guys, but this will be four if he gets this one.
Yeah, so he's already got a handful. That's pretty that's pretty good accomplishment. Where do you put Belichick for coaches of all time? You know, I mean,
well, here's my thing. If we're talking all time, I got to talk. You know, he's got to be in the top five. I don't put him as the top one. Yeah, I mean, I'd really have to look into some of the older guys. I just don't think I think I do them a disservice by just saying this guy's number one. Yeah, you got guys like Chuck Knoll that I haven't looked into, and
Vince Lombardi,
and guys like Lombardi, exactly, and Shula. And I think, you know, you got to look at them all. They're all in the same room. I got to look at all the numbers, but I mean, he's got to be right near the top. I mean, his record, they're winning. But let's talk about winning. I mean, let's just talk about winning. What's the most important thing? Winning. The winning percentage. Right. Brady has the best winning percentage ever. So does Belichick, I think.
Right.
Well, Belichick might not because of Cleveland, but Brady does.
Yeah, it's true. I actually forgot about the Cleveland years there.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess he wasn't liked too much out there. But I don't know. Where would you put him? I would probably say, you know, if I just had to say right now without, you know, looking into anything else right now, I mean, I'd probably say he'd probably be somewhere around maybe like number three.
I was going to say top three, definitely.
Yeah,
top
because three. I can't put him number one because I personally have seen him make some really bad decisions at some points. He does do that sometimes. I know he doesn't really get called out on it, but he does. I've been like, what the fuck? You know, what's he doing, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, another Super Bowl will help his cause there. You know, he's definitely a Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah, he's a great coach.
I think number two will put Coughlin as a Hall of Famer, not for nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, also too, Coughlin had the years in Jacksonville going to the to the playoff championship game and everything.
He's done that a lot.
What's that?
He's done that a lot. Hasn't he brought a lot of teams to the championship game? Not that that's winning the title or anything, but it's making a nice run for the playoffs at least.
Well, his thing is, no matter what, he's gonna get your team. You know, as long as your team is decent, he's gonna get you 9-7
and
in there.
They make late runs. They make the late run, and that's what you need. You need to be hot at the end. The Giants are known for doing it.
Right. You know, that's been a thing that's my whole life. The Giants have been like that. It's been pretty much insane. You know, see, with me, I was five when they won it in 86 or 87, actually, because, you know, after the new year. And that was my first big sports memories, really, was watching that Super Bowl game. And then, of course, in 91, when I was able to, understand it a lot better. You know, but it's just, this team up there, you know, I think that just the way that we went this year, it's like a miracle team, and I don't know. It just seems like it's our destiny to win it this year. I think a lot of fans feel it, but I think, you know, it's going to be a big letdown. But if not, you still got to say, hey, we went 9-7. You know, beat the Jets, beat the Cowboys, beat the Falcons, and then Green Bay and San Francisco all at home. The last three there at home to make it to the Super Bowl against the Patriots. It's definitely a great year, but, you know, is it all for naught if we lose it? You know, that's the thing.
Yeah. it's going to be a battle, man. I guess there's a lot of New York fans over in Indy. And I'm sure the Indy fans aren't too kind to Patriot fans out there, the people that live out there. So.
Yeah, being an AFC town as well, because, you know, That's been always a small rivalry too. Has been Peyton and Brady, you know, just as far as
absolutely,
being the Pro Bowl, being the starter in the Pro Bowl. You know, I know nobody cares about the actual Pro Bowl game, but just being named starter, Or, you know, just being who wins the MVP or, you know, whichever, you know. So
Brady got snubbed a lot, dude. He really did. He deserved it a lot more when Peyton was getting it. Because Peyton would really just choke all the time at the end of the year. And Brady didn't put up the big numbers a lot. But, dude, he was always converting on third down when we needed it all the time. He wasn't turning the ball over.
I'd like to see what we're gonna see in the future for Peyton Manning. If I think he's gonna come back.
I want to talk about that, Justin. How about we take a quick break? I need to play a quick song. We'll come back and we'll get into Peyton Manning.
Sounds good.
All right, just everybody, just stick with us for about 2 minutes, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Real News Radio, Brian Stavely, Justin Cook. Okay, everybody, welcome back to Real News Radio. You're listening to Brian Stavely and Justin Cook here on our sports show. You know, we haven't come up with a name for our sports show yet. I just want to talk about what we got going on a little bit. You know, maybe you guys can help, you know, make a couple suggestions. Who knows, maybe we'll, you know, we'll pick something that you throw out there. We opened a new comment section on our sports page on the website. So where you're picking the stream up right now on the sports page there at therealnewsonline.com, you'll notice a little comment wall right underneath that scoreboard. And if you guys can just sign in, you'll be members of the site. Google's shutting down all our membership features. They really suck. They do stuff like this all the time. They're basically going to cripple my community, so we're building a new one. Those comment walls are great because they update in real time. Like, as soon as you comment on them, they pop right up, and you can do everything. You can drag people in from Twitter and Facebook. You can post the comments out everywhere. But if you want to just talk comments, and you can reply to them, and they post right away. So it's almost like having a chat right on the page. So whenever you guys want to, you know, jump in or whatever, you can. Justin, you here, right?
Yeah, I'm with you, Brian. What's up? Yeah, not for nothing, the whole Google thing. Man, I just saw how, you know, we had a 70-something people signed up for the site, and now, you know, we're back to scratch.
Yeah, dude, it's unbelievable, Justin. All the websites I built, that's like the infrastructure of the site, of the community. So I'm losing all my members, all the sign-ins, all the comment walls, all the ratings walls, all those type of gadgets like that. They're shutting the whole thing down, and I don't know why. They don't even offer support on it. You can't even get email support from them on it. So it's like, it's just code that's sitting there. I don't know why they would shut it down. It's unbelievable that they're doing that. So I have to, like, rebuild, you know, half of the site and the other sites. So these new comment walls, guys, are a blessing in disguise. You'll see it says right underneath the scoreboard there. It says our sports comment wall. You'll see them in a couple places throughout the site. If you guys could just please sign up real quick, I can get my community back. I don't want to lose you guys. In 30 days, the Google memberships are going to go down. Not that you guys won't be able to get on the site and still do all the same stuff. All the content will be there, all the news sources, all the videos. It's just, I don't want to lose my community, and I won't be able to send newsletters and all that. Now that Justin's joined, okay, I can click on Justin's picture. He didn't set up a profile yet. I didn't tell him how to do it, but if you set up a profile, Justin, and everybody out there.
Well, I did set up one on the iFire thing.
Oh, okay, cool, because you can actually set your you can set little badges for your Twitter page, your Google page, your Facebook page, so people can go right to them. You can put your website, you can put a bio, if you know, all that crap, just like we have before. You can do that, and the other thing that's good about it is you can just sign in with LiveFire, and I know some people like that because a lot of people don't want to have to be a member of Facebook or Google or Yahoo. I don't know how some people aren't a member of at least one, but some people aren't. So this thing has its own unique sign-in. You can just create a name with LiveFire, and then you're a member. And then when you come on, you can just leave comments. You can reply to individual comments, like it, you know, all that crap. Justin, you have anything you want to say about that before we get into Peyton Manning?
No, nothing really. You're the you're the guy behind the computer stuff. I'm just here. I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah, let me deal with all that BS. Go ahead, you lead the way.
Yeah, no, I was just saying with Peyton Manning. You know, like we're getting into about, you know, the fact of him, you know, it being in his town, the fact that he didn't play this year, the horrible year that the Colts had, the fact that they're gonna end up with Luck next year. You know, I mean the player, not the actual,
He's done. It's over. He's done with them. Absolutely. Whether he plays or not.
Oh, he's gone. He's not going to re-sign with them.
I don't think so. What do you think? I'm not saying that's a report out there or nothing. I'm just saying that's my opinion. What do you think?
I don't know.
I thought they should sign him.
I thought they were going to bring him back and try to and try to use him to for tutelage.
Yeah.
But
why wouldn't you? Well, that's what I said, but I don't think that's what they're doing, Justin. It looks like the writing's on the wall, and he's out of there, dude. I don't know. That's what it seems like to me. No, you don't get that feel a little bit. That's what everybody down here says too on the radio. I mean, not that they're any better knowledgeable than anybody else, but I mean that's like the consensus opinion, really.
Okay. Honestly, I haven't been up on that. So, I mean, you know, just looking into it, you know, the last time I'd probably heard about it or thought about it was like week 15 or 16 or so, because obviously the Colts haven't,
oh, no,
you know.
There's been comments made and stuff.
Yeah, see, I haven't been watching too much SportsCenter, just mostly listening to local radio and, you know, looking on CBS News and whatnot and, you know,
yeah.
Different ESPN and whatnot. You know, I don't know. I mean, I think with a great quarterback like him, I would say why not? You know, it worked for Brett Favre and Rodgers. It worked for, even Bledsoe over Brady. I mean, you know, I think that a lot of people might say, well, you know, if Bledsoe didn't get hurt, you never might have saw Brady. But I think that you know, I think that there's a guy that learned while playing under him. You know, Bledsoe wasn't a Hall of Famer or anything, but, you know, he had a good career. You know, I think that, you know, it definitely helps to play under a veteran no matter who you are, you know.
Dude, you have a guy like Peyton Manning. You'd be an idiot to let him walk out the door when you're bringing in this number one pick that you think is going to be so good. I mean, it'd be the perfect time to do it. I mean, the guy, it might be hurt. He might not be 100% and be able to play. So this would be the perfect time to give the other guy some time here and there. Let Peyton play most of the time. Yeah, you got a heavy price tag. So what? You're looking at a future investment of having the best, you know, one of the best possible tutors you could possibly have for this guy. I mean, you know, I being a New England guy, obviously, you know, I don't like Peyton Manning, but I respect him as a player, and he's a hell of a smart player as far as reading defenses and stuff like that. And to pass that on to a young QB and to let the guy walk out the door when you could just re-sign him and have him tutor the guy, and yeah, maybe he wouldn't really, you know, get much playing time the first year, luck, and it'd probably be all Manning. But I'm sure by year two, he'd get some work in some games, and then by year three, you would expect to see total transition, you know? And
right.
I think that would be the way to do it, you know?
I agree. I think that, you know, you can't rush a young quarterback in these days. besides a rare case like Cam Newton, a guy that can, you know,
Vince
run
Young,
the ball.
Look what happened. Vince Young, guys like that.
Yep. No, I agree. I think that, you know, with a guy like, you know, Luck or, you know, even what's the other guy's, RG,
Griffith the third or something?
Yes,
crap?
Yes. Yeah, Robert Griffith the third, RG3, right. You know, I think it doesn't hurt to put him in, you know, to put him behind a guy for a year. You know, they're both supposed to be making a big splash, but I think they're both going to end up playing their first year unless Luck.
Yeah, what if you don't work out?
Exactly. You know, look at all the guys that haven't. You know, like Todd Marinovich's, Gino Toretta's, and, you know,
Ryan Leaf. I mean, you hear all the
yeah.
I mean, come on, dude. I mean, you hear it all the time. It's such
exactly.
a gamble. You don't know that these guys are going to work. And look at Brady. He went to 199. I mean, come on, man. I mean, the draft
yeah.
is such an inexact science. To gamble your team's whole future on it is one thing, but when you have a backup player, reassurance like Peyton Manning with, yeah, it's a $28 million luxury. Okay, you are already paying the guy like $21, $22 million anyway, so it's not like you're taking a guy that was getting $10 million. Yeah, you're giving him an extra $6 million. Okay,
right.
Whatever. Now he's going to train this guy, and this guy's going to lead you for the next 10 years into being one of the best powerhouses in the AFC and all of football.
Well, let's think of this. If Peyton doesn't land there, where is he going to land? Is he going to be, you know, somewhere like St. Louis? You know, I have heard if St. Louis gets the right guy, they will
the
replace Bradford. Wow.
What about
think
the
that
Jets?
That would be dangerous.
They're not happy with Sanchez, dude. If he keeps regressing, and he already did a lot this year, I mean, never mind keeps it. I mean, Peyton Manning could go to the Jets. I mean, I think they'd go after him big time. I think you have
yeah.
to if you need a quarterback. Why wouldn't you? You do everything you can. Well,
I agree.
It's
Sanchez
tough because you got to make sure
Sanchez
he's healthy first.
Terrible.
How do you do that? How do you make sure he's healthy first without signing him to a contract? Do you get him to work out in front of you like a lot? Like, how does that work? Like, legally, what is he gonna like? What's
I,
he gonna do?
I,
is he gonna work out
I
for
th-
a team?
I think he's gonna have to. I think that you don't sign a just like anybody else. See, when they say physical, a lot of times I think that's included in, you know, these in pro sports is part of physicals. They want to see you jog. They want to see you maybe run 40 yards and you know they want to see you have your quarterback. You know they want to see your
yeah.
arm a little bit. I mean,
well,
I think that's
part of. We're not talking
about
a Shaquille O'Neal here with $1 million take a gamble on him. You know, we're talking about, you know, $20 million player.
Right. You know, I don't know, and it makes you wonder, though. It makes you wonder, is it worth, you know, is it worth $20 million, though, for a guy that you don't know about, you know? And but I think that the Jets, if anyone, will probably be the team to make that gamble. So, I mean, yeah. I think there's actually a good chance that Peyton isn't going to be back next year. In Indy, anyway.
No, I don't do it. There's been comments made.
Washington's another possible suit.
Yeah, they've been talking about Washington. And, yeah, he just kind of said how when he walked through there, it's like everybody that he knows is gone. And I wish I knew the comment that he made, and I'll try and dig it up after. But he said something and kind of beat the owner to it and kind of made the owner look bad if the owner doesn't sign him. But I think he's out of there, dude. I really do. I really think he's out of there. I think he's going to go somewhere else, and I think he's going to make somebody else really nasty.
Yeah, I could definitely see him going somewhere and having at least two more good years in him. You know,
I'm scared. Dude, if he goes to the Jets, imagine the rivalry with the Patriots in the same division.
I can't imagine the Jets actually having a valid passer on that team with that division. I think you could march him. You know, the only thing that would stop them would be Rex Ryan and his cockiness. Because, you know, I think sometimes it does get the better of him. You know, I think that in part he's somewhat ruined Sanchez. But I think if he can sit back and let a guy like Manning do his thing and run his own offense, that you know, nothing would stop a team like that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he's pretty much gone. I really do. That's my opinion. I could be wrong. I think that's the wrong decision. I mean, I think they're crazy if they don't just, like you said, they got the number one pick. They're going to pick this guy, Andrew Luck. He's, you know, supposed to be, you know, this prototypical passer, great quarterback in the pocket guy like Peyton Manning, I guess. So why not pay him to tutor the guy? I mean, it only makes sense. I mean, I don't see why you let him go. You have a golden opportunity right there. I think they're crazy to do it, but I think they cleaned it house, dude. I think, you know, and it just took that terrible season, and it's unfortunate because all they did is lost their quarterback, and it killed them. But you know what? They should have been able to pull together some wins, Justin. Peyton Manning or no Peyton Manning, the season they had is really makes the coaching staff look bad.
Oh, they look terrible. And, you know, the thing was is they couldn't even get a ground game established or nothing. And, you know, I understand Peyton Manning is a big thing psychologically to the other team, and you know, but I think that what was the backup that came in, the
was
young
it Sorgi for a while.
Sorgi was at the beginning of the year. Then he got a seat. He took a seat after he was very ineffective. Let me look this up. It's worth it. Yeah, you know, it's one of those things to where, you know, just one guy, you can't believe, you know, how much of a you know, different team they were, and how bad Austin Collie was, and how bad the, you know, all the receivers were. Reggie Wayne was non-existent. I know he's getting older, but Curtis Painter, and then of course Orlovsky at the end.
Yeah, oh god, those guys are awful.
Let me tell you, I actually sacked Orlovsky in high school.
Really? He played where?
He played for Shelton High School. It's another suburb of New Haven. Yeah, they beat us 47-0. One game, and then they beat us 39-0 the next year. But I did get an early sack on him. But
wow, you know what I was thinking of doing, and I think this is a good idea. But we already have so many damn groups on Facebook, but I think it would be a good idea to have a sports group, just to have sports discussions and to bring in some of our regular friends in and have a group where they can all come in and talk about sports and have it kind of go along with the show. What do you think?
I think that'd be a great thing, you know, because, you know, especially what we deal with, I'm sure if you guys come to the website, you see that a lot of the stuff we're dealing with is a lot more serious stuff, but, you know, nobody can talk that stuff all day long and not kind of want to go crazy. I mean, yeah, you know, you put in your years and everything, and a lot of people, I get flack from a lot of people. I don't really care what they say, but, you know, sports are distraction, but, you know, hey.
And those are people you still know more and research more than, so they need to shut
right.
up.
Right. Well, you know, and the funny thing is the same people are worried about the next politician in the next election or whatever else.
Yeah, those are the fake truth. Yeah, I don't even
right. know. So with those types, it's like, well, you know, when you're watching the GOP event or researching into a fixed election, I'm just going to watch the Giants and sit back and relax.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
That's really how I look at things and just in general in life, you know, balance is the key. And I think if you sit there and just beat your head with one thing, you're going to end up, not necessarily having a nervous breakdown, but you're not going to be as happy and balanced.
You get depressed, dude. You get depressed. Yeah. I know you go through it. I go through it. I mean, everybody, all the real, you know, serious researchers or radio hosts or whatever, when you're really into the stuff, and well, let's be honest, there's a lot of friggin' bad news. I mean, there is. There's a lot of bad news all the time. And even if you're not paying attention to fear-mongering types, I mean, it wears you down. You need to take a break. And I think that, you know, us doing this sports show, you know, every week or every other week or just whenever, you know, whenever we feel like doing it, just doing it every, you know, couple times a month or whatever, it's a nice little break. I was really looking forward to doing the show all week, especially today. I was, like, actually getting, like, excited and nervous before the show. I was like, oh, great, we're going to do the Super Bowl show. And, you know, I don't know. It's kind of making me pay attention to things a little more, too, with the football and everything, because I was really just doing all research the last year. So, we're getting back to the group. I think that's a good idea. I wanted to do it the other day, and I didn't want to just send you another damn group invite because there's enough of them. But I want to set up a sports group and just invite the people that you know that pretty much aren't the, into the other stuff and just into the sport. Or the people that are into the other stuff that are into sports too. But, you know, let's get all our sports friends in here. And I'll get all my sports friends in here, and we'll get everybody talking about sports. And I think it'll be great, dude. We'll have a group for people to come in. I'm not in one single sports group on Facebook.
No.
Not one.
I'm in a couple, but they're general groups and they're nobody I know. It's just the regular Giants group and like a regular Mets group, and I might just go in there and drop a quick comment and leave, but I'm not talking to anybody I know, so it's not as fun or it's not, you know.
Yeah, so we'll get our listeners in there and everything. So anybody that's listened to this show, within the next day or two, I might even, you know, of course, I'll try and get it done tonight. I'm going to set up a Facebook group. I don't know the title yet, but I'll put something here on the website on the sports page telling you how to get into it. There'll be a link. It'll bring you right to it or whatever. And you can join. And what we're going to do, guys, we're not going to talk about any of our serious stuff in there. It's going to be strictly sports. And, invite anybody that you know is passionate about sports and wants to discuss it. And we'll talk about all these things. And you know what? Because it's good for us too, Justin. Like, we're on Facebook and all those tabs we have on the left, when you need a break, there's not really one. Now when we have the sports one, we'll pop in there for a half hour, an hour every day and just shoot the you-know-what with everybody, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's great.
I definitely agree. A place to go in and talk trash as well and whatnot and post a free agent or whatnot and post a big signing or a big draft pick or, you know, so yeah, definitely, I agree. Be a hell of a group to put together.
Yeah. All right, guys. So anything else you want to hit on before we wrap it up? I'll close the last few minutes out just telling people stuff about the site and how to get the show and the podcast and all that nonsense. But football-wise, let's wrap it up and give our final predictions again too. But besides that, anything else you want to touch on?
Just mainly thinking about it. Just a couple big signings in baseball lately. I'm looking forward to the baseball season.
Absolutely. I was just looking at that too myself, some hot stove.
You know, we saw Prince Fielder go to the Tigers. Tigers are going to be a big team now.
Oh, yeah. They're going to have some defense issues, though, with Cabrera going back over to third. I mean, that's going to – he's really had to be moved from there before because he was bad at it.
And he's older now, too. We have three new teams starting guys at third that have never played there before, and they're all teams. Also, the Angels are starting Trumbo at third because Kendry Morales will be back. I mean,
got Francisco Cordero, too. Did you see that?
Pujols will be there. Kendry Morales will be the DH. What was that?
Yeah. Toronto Blue Jays signed Francisco Cordero to be their setup, man.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Closers are all over. There's been a million closers that have switched teams this offseason. You know, you got Papelbon to the Phillies, and you know Heath Bell to the Marlins. The Marlins are going to be interesting to see real quick with Reyes at the top of the order, Bonifacio, Hanley third. Now there's another guy that's playing third base for the first time in his career also. And then also the other guy that's, like I said, was Trumbo. So, I mean, you know, those teams, they may not be able to play like that every game, and their big offensive dream may sometimes you can't leave a guy like that out there all nine innings if he's going to, have an error or two. So yeah, it's going to be absolutely interesting. There's a lot of big signings, but, you know, offense isn't everything in baseball.
On a Red Sox note, it just came out about an hour ago. GM Cherington, he actually said that, you know, it's pretty much looking like we're not going to get any new starting pitches before the season starts. We're out on Edwin Jackson, and it looks like the Oswald thing, it's not going to happen. So, and if he's just bluffing, I mean, I don't know. It doesn't look – I don't like that, you know. Oswald's a guy that's getting older, but why not, you know? He's better than Lackey. I mean, let's get him over here. Somebody always goes down. Let's have Oswald on the team, you know.
I agree. I think that, you know, you got to go and make that move. And I thought that was the reason why they got rid of Scudero. Of course, they also signed Cody Ross this week, who's going to be your new right fielder. Cody Ross, a guy 20-30 capabilities. You know, he had a bad year last year in Cincinnati, but I think that, you know, the Red Sox are definitely an improved team, you know, as far as that goes. But the Yankees are improved too with Kuroda and Kuroda and Michael Pineda now in the starting rotation. So
did,
I mean,
picked up who? Bill Hall or something?
I know they got the. Did they just get Bill Hall as a utility guy?
I think they did.
That'll be interesting to see. You know, they also got Andrew Jones as well. You know, like everything else, the American League East is going to be the place to watch baseball. You know, you got the Red Sox. The Yankees are always going to be good. I think with the Red Sox, the one thing you're going to have to see, though, is who fills out their rotation. Is it going to be Aceves or Bard? If they're not going and getting another pitcher, and then, you know, if you have an injury, down the line, where do you go?
I don't want them to move Bard.
I don't see the logic in it either. I really don't. You know, me and my one of my best friends is a Red Sox fan. We were talking about it the other day. He's excited about it, but I said, you got a guy that throws 98 miles an hour, possibly 100 sometimes.
Yeah, you don't know what he's going to do in a full game, and he might not be able to do that for more than two innings. Who knows?
No, he's going to drop down to, you know, you're going to have a guy that throws 95, 96 tops out in the start.
Flat. He's flat.
Right.
He's real fast, but when he's hittable, it's because his fastball doesn't move a lot, and he leaves it over the plate by accident sometimes. And he's really hittable. Yeah, he throws 98, but it's an arrow. So if he goes down to 95, dude, and that thing doesn't move, he's gonna get rocked.
I like a guy like Bard in the eighth inning to come in once they've seen your starter for six or seven innings now. You know, maybe you had a lefty specialist coming in the seventh. You know, bring him in your eighth. When you're up 4-2 or whatever, and you know he's gonna, or even when you're tied, you know there's gonna be a guy that's gonna change it up now and throw strikes right by people. I don't see why you would go and move him to a starter. I think it's almost like a job of Chamberlain move, where if anything you're gonna confuse the guy and possibly wear him out. You know, I don't see the reason for that nowadays.
That guy was so mismanaged, huh, Chamberlain? I mean, they didn't know what they wanted to do with him. He was up, down, left, right. I mean, starter, closer, setup, pitch count limit. I mean, it was crazy.
The Jabba rules, the infamous Jabba.
The Jabba rule, exactly. The Jabba rules.
That was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life, as far as managing a player. What the Yankees did with Jabba Chamberlain, you know, it's amazing the guy's still in the league.
Why don't you tell us what's new with the Mets, being that that's your team? You must have some inside that, you know, the country doesn't know. What do you got?
It's the Mets. It's not looking great. Although Johan Santana is going to be back. It looks like he's going to be back to full steam. So I mean, I think we're looking up. Ike Davis did say today on Twitter that, you know, they're a better team than last year. I think that, you know, really the main thing, the ifs, is going to be how well our power hitters can actually hit for power for once. Can David Wright, Jason Bay, And I think Ike Davis is pretty much a shoo-in right now. You know, I could be wrong, but I think Ike Davis, you know, he showed last year, you know, in the half a year. I know a half a year is not much of one, but, you know, he's been consistent when he's been up, and I think he's just a pure hitter. But can these other guys hit for power? And because that's going to make the difference. We have no more speed. We went from having the most speed in the league to having, you know, possible leadoff hitters might be Daniel Murphy. That was being discussed the other day. So either going to be Murphy or Torres, which, you know, Murphy is good. He gets on base a lot. But, you know, I think for the main part, it's going to rely on guys like Jonathan Nease and R.A. Dickey and whoever else, you know, Dylan G. You know, for the main part, the back end of that rotation, if Santana's healthy. And then the power, you know, it's too many ifs with the Mets this year.
That's a lot.
We do have a better bullpen. Our bullpen is twice as good as last year. So maybe if they keep us in a few more games, and you know, you won't be as upset to yank one of these guys a little early. But there is too many ifs, and we're in a very strong division. So I don't know. I'm hoping for at best a wild card. You know, it doesn't look like it. 105. You know, cap,
especially with teams like Philly. You know.
Yeah. Good thing about Philly though is the fact that. Ryan Howard's going to be out until at least mid-May.
What happened?
He's coming off a knee surgery.
I haven't been following baseball honestly that much the last couple months.
Right, and also Chase Utley's is not 100%, you know, sent either from his injury.
He has some injury troubles.
Yeah, he does, and you know, besides Pedroia, I'd say he, you know, and Cano, probably.
Yeah,
you know,
three of them, take your pick.
Right, exactly. And, you know, but there's a guy who's been banged up. So, I mean, you know.
The way Pedroia plays, though, is out.
Oh, yeah. But Pedroia is another Charlie Hustle, if you ask me. I think that's you know, he's in the mold of a Pete Rose. You know, you look at his stats, he's you know, I'm not saying he's Pete Rose. I'm not saying he's going to have 4,000 hits, you know. But
he's a great player, man. And
yeah.
He really is. I love him, dude. I mean, I don't know how you don't love the guy. And me, myself, you know, I play baseball. No, not one of these stories, the guys that call the talk shows and say I used to play baseball in high school. You know, just saying, like, you know, playing a men's league or whenever I play, you know, if I'm not playing shortstop, I'm a second baseman. So it's like, you know, I love seeing a nasty second baseman on the right and a little guy. Like, hey. I'm a short guy, too, you know, so I love seeing a little guy get up there. And he takes these huge mammoth swings, dude. It's unbelievable. And he's so clutch. He's absolutely clutch, and he is – nasty on defense.
Yeah, I agree. I think Pedroia is a great all around second baseman. I, you know, it just makes you wonder. Quick question. You know, being a Red Sox fan, I know that, you know, I guess you guys are gonna go with Aviles as your starting shortstop. I know they're waiting with Iglesias in the wings. Do you know if you're gonna see him at all this year? Or you think it's not gonna be until an August call up or what?
I would think this year you got to see him, Justin. I mean, it's been talked about for so long, and I mean, I don't know how much they're banking on Aviles. The Scooter move kind of boggles me right now. The timing of it. I mean, I don't know. I think they should have kept him another year.
I agree. But with the money he was making, if you're going to go out and get another starting pitcher, and Cody Ross, I'll take that. But that's what I'm saying. But now with you telling me that they might not go and get one of these frontline starting pitchers, then to me it's not.
It's unbelievable.
It's not worth it to me. I'd rather keep Scudero because shortstop is the hardest position on the diamond to fill. You had a guy that hits 290 there, guaranteed, and you know, hits 35 doubles and 15 home runs. Why not keep him? You know, that's even if he hits 10 home runs, it hits 270. And plays an honest shortstop, why not keep him?
Yeah. Exactly. I don't know. But you know what? They're considering it less of an honest shortstop now. They're considering him more of a liability. I just posted the story on your wall. We were going right on the air when I started to read it. So, you know, I didn't get too far past the headline in the front text. So, you know, it might say some other stuff in there. But I was trying to launch the show, so I didn't really get too deep into it. But it says it's unlikely. Then we're going to land. The rate of the odds of getting another starting pitcher will be unlikely.
So I want to say real quick, I think the Red Sox X-Factors are going to be how Youkilis can come back this year, and if Carl Crawford can regain his old form, and then the starting pitching. I think besides that, you're looking at a good team.
Oh, Crawford would be huge. If Crawford could play like his old self, I mean, our lineup is unbelievable. Our lineup would be second to none if he plays like his old self, you know. And if he doesn't, we'll have one of the better lineups, you know.
But
it won't be, you know, this juggernaut. But if he plays the way he could play, when you got a guy like Ellsbury coming into his prime and being a 30-30 guy now, and with the speed that he has, I mean, he's like a 30-60 guy, you know? I mean, he's so fast. Right. I really want to see Crawford hit the two spot. That's where I want these guys back-to-back. I want to be able to do double steals. I want to be able to put the pressure on the pitches. What's that going to do to the, you know, to the number three and four hitters? Let's put Pedroia three. Let's put Gonzalez four and Youkilis five. We'll keep the speed in the front. You get these guys on base. Well, you know what? They're not going to be throwing off speed. They're not going to be mixing it up because they're gonna, these guys are going to be double stealing. They're going to have to throw fastballs to Youkilis.
You know what? Exactly. You know what else I like that, too, is because of the fact that American League pitchers are not used to the steal as much as National League pitchers. So you have these guys, you know,
break their mentality, dude.
So, I mean, you know, they're going to be rushing and throwing fastballs, worried about the base runners more, whereas National League pitchers, that's one thing, you know, the National League guys automatically have a lower ERA and everything, but they're used to dealing with base runners more, you know. As for the American League, you kind of just say, you know, let the guy drive him in as opposed to, you know, manufacturing runs. So I think that if you can steal base in the American League, you know, effectively, then I think that that's something you got to take advantage of and put the other pitcher in, you know, in the mind, you know, that you have the guy that's going to move. Quick thing I wanted to reach into real quick was the problem with the Dominican Republic, the players coming up. We've seen two guys this year, Fausto Carmona and Leo Nunez, both got caught for being for using phony names and phony ages. So, you know, this has been done in the past. A few years ago,
I suspect Ortiz might have a phony age. It happened with Miguel Tejada. He was the first big one. He was about 2 years off from what he said. And at the time, they thought they were signing a 31-year-old shortstop. Now, signing a 33-year-old shortstop is a huge difference than signing a 31-year-old shortstop through a big money contract, isn't it?
Yeah, 100% different.
And what happened?
The thing is down in the Dominican Republic, you have these guys that the cutoff age down there is looked at as 19 years old. So if you're not ready to go by, you know, or say you're even 19, you want to make yourself look 17 because now, you know, let's get that guy and now we can develop him. But, you know, I was reading an article on it today, and I think the problem with it is that you have these guys coming from all over the world, and they're older than 16 or 17, and they still get signed. For example, the guy Cespedes that's the next big free agent right now out of Cuba. He just got his Dominican, citizenship, and now he should be signed any day now. So I mean, and he's 26 years old. So I think that, you know, that these guys, they don't have to do that. They're of course encouraged to do it by the way the business was run. So I think that, you know, they have to put something in place because this has been going on way too many times. Santiago Castillo, who's another
so hard to regulate something like that down in these other countries. I mean, how are they going to do it? How are they going to make sure that these birth certificates are legit and stuff? I mean, how's Major League Baseball do something like that? That's a big undertaking for them. I agree.
But what it is they have these baseball academies down there that these guys go to, and they're going to try to put it on these places more and say, hey, if you get caught, you know, falsifying one, that then, you know, the heat's going to come on you.
And they're local, so they know the local courts better, the local city halls. They know what the seals look like. They know what the signatures are supposed to look like, who's working. Yeah, I get you. Okay.
And Manny Acta, of course, from the Indians.
Yeah,
the,
I was going to say that. No. I was thinking of somebody else. Go ahead.
Yeah, Maniac is going to lead up to try to get this straightened out down there because, you know, it's an embarrassment to all the Dominicans. We've had, you know, 700 Dominican sons who have made the league, you know, and it's a country that's going to be, you know, bringing more and more guys up. And you know, if they don't get that straightened out, then people are going to be leery of signing the next kid from down there, you know. So, I mean, I think it's something that they got to work on now that they realize it's this big of a problem. They've caught five or six guys at least already, you know, three or four big namers. So, I mean, you know, I think it's something that they definitely got to, you know, work on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, I think that pretty much, you know, pretty good for tonight, unless you have anything else. Let's give our final score again on the football, though. I think I actually want to change mine by 1 point, and I want to say I'm going to go with New England, guys, and I'm going to go with New England 38-35, not 34. I don't think it's going to be more than 3 points.
I'm going 33-31 Giants. I'm guessing that, you know, we're going to it's going to come down to the last drive, and it just matters who has the ball and how much time they have. I think that's the main thing here.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, anything else you want to hit on before we get out of here?
No, that's about it. Just wanted to thank everybody for listening, and you know. Make sure you call in next time. It'd be good to get some interaction on this, and I'm sure we'll be talking in the new group that we're going to set up and everything. So
yeah, I think once we get the group going and people know about the show a little more, even though we don't have a schedule, which is better for us, once we have a group and there's people actually interested in sports and they're looking for it, and we tell them, I think we'll get some more people.
I agree.
Some more people, you know. All right, so guys, we're gonna head out of there, and I'll give everybody our information and stuff real quick before we. Before we close it out, that wasn't actually the file I wanted to play. All right, guys, you know, anytime you want to reach me or Justin, you could easily reach us through the website there, you know, at therealnewsonline.com, or you could reach Justin on Facebook or me on Facebook or whatever. Like I said, if you guys can, just sign up for the new comment walls, and you guys will be able to leave comments on the site, and you'll be a member of the site. That's pretty much it. Just look for the new Facebook group. I'm going to set up a Facebook group tonight, Sports Talk, and, you know, I'll put a thing on the website. That's pretty much it, guys. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to Real News Radio. For Justin Cook, I'm Brian Stavely, and we are out of here. Ease, ice cubes and DOCs, the Snoop D-O double G's, and a group that said motherfuck the police. Gave you a tape full of dope beats to bump when you stroll through in your hood, or when your album sales wasn't doing too good. Who's the doc that he told you to go see? Y'all better listen up closely. All you niggas that said that I turn pop or the firm flop, y'all are the reason that Dre ain't been getting no sleep. So fuck y'all, all of y'all, if y'all don't like me, y'all are gonna keep fucking around with me and turn me back to the old me. Nowadays, everybody wanna talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips, just a bunch of gibberish and motherfuckers.